to the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to another edition of the Extra Magic Hour. I am Dimitri.
And I'm Kat.
And we are off and running. We know it's been a while since D23, so rather than recap a lot of the news out of D23, we will talk a little bit about it at the end. Our guest this week, David Mumpower, will talk about some of the announcements at D23, sort of in context of the larger Disney World story. But let's see, what else has been going on in the news, Kat?
Okay, so something that just came out today is that Disney Springs is celebrating Christmas in July for the rest of this month. So I don't know if they've done this in the past before. I don't remember if they have, but it seems like it's something fun to do. You can meet Santa. He's dressed in like Hawaiian shirt and swim trunks. There's like different types of Christmas sales going on throughout the whole shopping center, not just the Disney stores. Some of the restaurants are also serving like winter themed drinks.
What do you think this says about what's going on at Disney Springs? Do you think that, because I honestly don't know, like I'm not asking because this is not a rhetorical question, I guess I should say. Do you think this means sales are down, or do you think this means that they have to do something to sort of keep up what projections are during the daytime, during the summer months?
My guess is that they are trying to draw people to Disney Springs, whether it's because sales are down or if it's just they want to keep people out of the park, so they redirect them to Disney Springs.
I didn't think about that, to bring crowds down. I wonder what the effect of Pandora has been on Disney Springs. I wonder if that changes people's patterns, even at nighttime, of when they would go over to Disney Springs. Now there's a whole new option at night in a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah, that's true.
That's interesting. I mean, you're definitely right. There is a level of crowd control going on here that I had not considered before. And another thing you said that is also correct is I don't remember whether or not they've ever done something along these lines before.
Yeah, I have no idea. But like I said, they have a picture of Santa and his Hawaiian stuff, and it looks really fun. Like, I think if I was down there and I had kids, I'd be like, yep, let's go.
I'm wondering, and also kind of guessing, this is probably the same Santa motif from Caribbean Beach during December. I'm going to guess it's probably the same costume.
I have no idea. I've never seen Santa at Caribbean Beach.
Alrighty then. What else do we have in the news?
Okay, so we know that Disney Quest closed at the beginning of this month. But now the permits have been filed for the demolition of Disney Quest, which I did not know that it was getting demolished. I thought that they were just like refurbishing everything inside to make way for the NBA Quest or NBA experience.
Does it give details on what exactly that means? Because this could be, because don't you have to get the same permit to completely demolish, even if it's just taking parts off? This could just be taking the ears off the building.
It says demo of structure and additional work.
All right. Well, so I also thought that there was going to be mostly refurb. I thought that was one of the things that drew the interest of the NBA was the, what, five-story building?
That sounds right.
That's interesting. I had not heard that demolition or complete rebuild was part of this, although part of what drug this out for so long, part of the reason that Disney Quest got such a long farewell was because the two sides, Disney and the NBA, sort of at the 11th hour started to disagree about what the project was going to be and what it was going to cost.
At the end of this article, it says, although not officially announced, it is expected that the NBA experience will not take up all the space of the Disney Quest footprint. So maybe this demolition is just like tearing down inside walls and building new ones to like split up the space or something.
That's interesting. So we've talked about this on the show before, and granted, it was a while ago as we were first sort of addressing the news about the NBA and Disney's headbutt here. Disney, this is not Disney is in bed with the NBA in a huge way because ESPN paid close to $2 billion. That's billion with a B for the broadcast rights to the NBA. And you see that Disney, I think every year since that deal has been signed, has really tied something significant into All-Star Game broadcast, into playoff broadcast. This year, Disney really heavily tied Guardians of the Galaxy into the playoffs. I believe, if I remember right, I think they really heavily tied Beauty and the Beast into some of the All-Star coverage. So Disney's trying to get their money's worth for sure out of ESPN, and for that reason, I am surprised that they are thinking about making this smaller in some way.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I just thought it was interesting because I was like, whoa.
You remember the what was the name of the original run that the NBA made at this? Was it called NBA City over at City Walk in Universal?
I don't know, but I remember there being something over there, or I remember discussions of there being stuff over there.
Yeah,
Universal.
It's where that new Chocolate Factory restaurant is now, or I guess that's where it was. But they had outdoor courts. I wonder if that is going to be part of, maybe the whole building won't occupy the footprint, but maybe there will still be some sort of major presence there.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
All right, what else do we have?
So our last news story before we talk about D23 a little bit is that Dooney and Burke is releasing two more collections for their Disney Parks bags. The first one is Princess and the Frog Tiana. They're really cute. I wasn't expecting Tiana. And I have two Dooney and Burke bags, and I was like, these are really cute. And then the second one is Haunted Mansion. And the Haunted Mansion one, it's like the purple wallpaper-ish.
Yeah.
But it also has Madame Leota and then the crow. What's the crow's name? I saw it. Lucifer. Lucifer the crow.
I thought that the Haunted Mansion bags were sort of in their original run. I could have sworn I've seen those before.
No, this says it's a new collection.
Huh. All right. Well, I mean, I trust you. You keep up with this more than me, but I could have sworn that I had seen... Maybe I'm just thinking of... Don't they have, not Dooney and Burke, but doesn't Disney sell some sort of version of... or some kind of, like, pocketbook or something like that with the wallpaper print on it in that... what's the name of the store outside of the Haunted Mansion?
Memento Mori.
Yeah. Don't they sell something like that there?
I have no idea, because honestly, I've only been in Memento Mori once.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
All right.
I love Haunted Mansion, but I'm not that into it.
Ah, see, Anne is. So that's interesting. I wonder if she would go for this Dooney and Burke. I'm looking at the pattern. Madame Leota sort of looks like Maleficent in this.
Well, I was thinking that, or like just a skull.
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking at it from a distance.
Oh, yeah, that's true. She does. The Dooney and Burke stuff I've seen, I'm a little taken aback by the Princess and the Frog one just because it's so bold. Where usually don't they sort of hide some of the details of some of the little characters in the bigger print?
Yeah, so like the one that I have, it's like all four of the park icons, but it also has Dumbo on it. But like it's all kind of. Even though it's the icons, it's still subtle, I feel like.
Right.
Whereas Tiana, the one where it's Tiana kissing Naveen, the frog, or like about to, I think that's really cute. But the other one is not subtle either, where right. It's just her portrait.
Right. The first time I ever saw these bags was at the first Star Wars half marathon out in California. And so they had a lot of – it looked like they just did classic Dooney and Burke patterns and hid, you know, stormtroopers or the symbols of the rebellion and in the bag. And I thought that was kind of Dooney and Burke's thing with all this. Look, if they're going in a different direction, they're probably going off of research saying that people want the characters to be more prominent. This is just very different from what we've seen from them in the past.
No, it is. I still think they're cute, so. If you're a Tiana fan, you should look into these.
And also, you made a good point. If you're a Tiana fan, snap them up, because I can't remember us getting this much Princess and Frog merch this far out from the movie.
I know.
All right, so we mentioned that we would talk about D23 sort of in place of the rumor this week. What are some of the things... Let me ask it this way. Was there anything that surprised you announcement-wise at D23, or do you think we were pretty well prepared for what was going to be rolled out?
The one that really mostly surprised me was that we're getting a new theater in Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Because that just, I felt like that came out of left field, like completely, because we hadn't heard any rumors about that. Right. And that's the one that was like, that, and then also the Great Mickey, or not the Great Mickey Ride, Mickey, whatever the Mickey Ride is going to be called, that was the most talked about in my travel agent's page.
Yeah, that is one that I am surprised about, because not because they announced it, because I think we all knew it was coming. I'm surprised they announced it now, because that seems like something you would hold until late in the game for the 50th anniversary, but... Did you notice how much of the focus was on, without saying exactly what the future holds for Hollywood Studios, did you notice how much of a focus was put on Hollywood Studios is now going to be made up of very distinct environments? Like, we got real details about the Star Wars project, that it's called Galaxy's Edge. You know, the model was laid out. We got some real details about Toy Story Land. I also can't remember the name of... is it called Runaway Railway?
Yes, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. That's going to be hard to say.
Yes, it is. I mean, but again, you have... These are very iconic, very major, very distinct characters. And as you think about... If you walk up the main street there in Hollywood Studios, walking towards the Chinese Theater and going around clockwise, you are going to go from... distinct environment you've always wanted to see to a distinct environment you've always wanted to see to distinct environment you've always wanted to see, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I would imagine sooner rather than later, especially with Toy Story Land opening next year, we've got to be getting a new name for this park at some point.
Yeah, yes. So wonder when that announcement will be.
That is one of the things that surprised me. I was not surprised by any of the announcements in terms of what is coming to Epcot, but I was a little bit surprised by the minivan project, not because we didn't know it was coming, but because I had heard that they may push this announcement until they could do something a little more luxurious. Had you heard that?
No, I had not.
Okay, so the minivan project is their own version of Uber, right?
Right.
But they are also working on some self-driving, not buses exactly. They're still going to be individual kind of things that you pay a premium for, but they would be like the Google Maps cars, self-driving, and it would be a very comfortable, very spacious ride with TVs, with a lounge, with recliners and stuff like that. Plenty of space for you to plug in and charge your devices on the way to the park. I had heard that the minivan announcement was going to be put off for maybe a few months to a year until they could get this technology perfected.
Interesting. So I remember the self-driving cars, but
so
I didn't.
I don't know if maybe this is minivan 2.0 now?
Yeah, maybe.
Also, I kind of hate the name minivan.
I thought it was very cheesy.
Yes, exactly. Like, why not Donald Trucks to go along with minivans?
Oh my gosh, that'd be hilarious.
In terms of movie announcements, I was left wanting. There was nothing that excited me.
I felt like there was nothing that we didn't know.
Certainly nothing good we didn't know. I mean, the Planes 3 announcement kind of came out of nowhere.
I think I totally missed that one.
Or maybe not announcement, but the Planes 3 tease kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I was very disappointed. I felt like last D23 in 2015, there was a lot more stuff released to the internet, and it wasn't all, you have to be here to get it. Like, the... they had like a Lion King preview, and I still haven't been able to find that online.
Right. This is one of those things that I think has bubbled up. I don't know if D23 so much was a part of this, but about that time, last year, a lot of directors and studios from Comic-Con started to complain about how quickly stuff would go up on the internet, that, you know, it didn't feel like it was a treat for spending the money to come out. So I wonder if that is Disney kind of setting the precedent of going forward, this is how we're going to be doing all of our expo kind of stuff.
Maybe, but I still think it's lame.
No, I agree with you completely. It is definitely lame. It is definitely a bummer. And I don't know that it helps them build buzz in any way.
Right.
Like, it's great to hear that there were people in the audience moved to tears by this Lion King footage, but to then not get to see it, to not have something to follow that up with, I feel like Disney is missing a big opportunity.
I know, especially since probably a lot of people who were at D23 are people who have, I mean, not saying that we don't have steady jobs, but are able to pick up and move, not move, but pick up and travel anytime they want to.
Right.
And we can't do that. So.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing about that is, you know, if you make it a D23 exclusive, I mean, you know, congratulations, 15,000 people know about your project, where you are trying to get this out to the hundreds of millions. I'm not criticizing them. I understand that adds to the magic of being a D23 member, but from a business standpoint, it is a little confusing to me.
Yes.
All right. David Mumpower from Theme Park Tourist is our guest this week, so we will get to him next. Thanks for listening to the Extra Magic Hour.
Hey, everyone. It's Kat. We all know planning a Walt Disney World vacation takes a lot of time and effort. You gotta choose a resort, book dining, and choose fast passes. Well, I want to take the stress out of your vacation. Book your vacation with me through Magical Travel, and your trip planning will become as easy as pie. I'll take care of all the fine details for you at no additional cost. What's great about it is that you won't have to wake up early to get those hard-to-book reservations like Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table. I'll do my best to make your vacation the most fun and relaxing it can be. Even better, when you book a trip with me, I'll throw in a Disney gift card for you. Email me for a free quote at katarina@magicaltravel.com. That's katarina at magicaltravel.com. P.S. I also do all other Disney affiliates, so if you want to venture outside of the world, I will be able to help you there too. So what are you waiting for? Let's make your next trip magical.
Now we bring in the author of Disney Demystified. You can also read him on a bevy of different Disney parks information sites. He's our pal, David Mumpower. David, first of all, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. I would imagine this week has been busy on this front as you parse out the various announcements from D23 and what they mean, not only concretely, like what new attractions are coming to these parks, but what they mean about the direction that the parks are going in the future.
That's exactly right. There are two huge anniversaries coming up for Disney. The first one is the 35th anniversary of Epcot, which we're only a few months away from. The second one, which we're moving toward, is the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, the complex, in 2021. And Disney basically has put a roadmap out there for everyone to evaluate over the next few years. And it might be hyperbolic to say this, but the way I feel is that if you couldn't have been alive in 1965 for the presentation of the Epcot community, this is probably the closest, most relevant thing we've had so far to that, because Disney just had 25 announcements, 15 of which really were jaw droppers.
Right. And that's the thing that I sort of walk away from thinking about this last D23, really, if you combine the last two D23s, I guess, the parks presentations, is let's just think about Disney World. Sure, we have not gotten that fifth gate, which I think now this is the longest we've gone between new gates opening, like by miles. But it does seem like that starting with D23 in 2015, Disney firmly planted their flag of this is a whole new era, or at least a whole new era of Disney parks is coming.
Exactly. For the next generation of Disney, here's what we're going to do. And the way they've started running D23 is they've taken the best parts of an Apple launch event and Comic-Con, and they've done those in their own Disney fashion. And it's become one of the crucial events on the calendar in all of the business world. That is not hyperbole.
No, that is absolutely true, especially for people that don't know or don't remember. David also does a lot of work taking a look at box office and projecting box office at the movies. D23, I would say, is probably on par with Comic-Con at this point, just because you have this major entertainment entity that not only is revealing stuff before they're going to reveal it at Comic-Con, they're revealing stuff they're not going to reveal at Comic-Con.
Exactly. They've started to privatize some of their stuff. And when you get down to it, Disney is the top pop culture influencer of anybody. So their impact across the entire range of things, from movies to television to, you know, anything you'd see at Hot Topic and Box Lunch, that's Disney. So this event, they're defining terms for years to come. So everybody has to stop and pay attention. And what's amazing about this year, I cannot stress this enough, there were three or four things that any other year would have been the number one event. But then the Star Wars hotel announcement was so significant that it kind of dwarfs anything else. And that's kind of mind-boggling in and of itself.
Yeah, okay, so there's a lot I want to jump around on, because you mentioned the 35th anniversary of Epcot. I think it's really important. We talk about that park's future, and we'll get to that in a second. But a joke that's been going around the internet since the Star Wars hotel was even still just a rumor is this is the first step towards Disney becoming Westworld, which is which is funny if you think about it, without the murder and sex, at least without advertising the murder and sex,
as far as we know. Very differently.
But I do wonder, is this sort of the first step to, let's say, that Westworld-like idea where when you're on Disney property, you are in that world 24/7?
That's a more insightful joke than people fully appreciate yet.
I agree.
Because one of the leads that got buried in all of this was Marvel Land at Disney California Adventure. And this is relevant to Star Wars Hotel, because what they're saying about Star Wars Hotel is the instant you check in at the hotel, you're part of the Star Wars experience. Disney basically said, with the release of Mission Breakout, something's going on here. And now they've confirmed Marvel Land is going to be a thing at Disney California Adventure that's apparently going to mirror the Star Wars hotel experience. So theoretically, they're going to have that available on both coasts. If you want to do Star Wars, you go to Orlando. If you want to do Marvel, you go to Disneyland. So they're going to have twin concepts of that immersive experience. It's basically the future of theme park experiences.
Yeah, and it seems like this is Disney really throwing, or I guess putting their best foot forward before Nintendo Land comes online for Universal. And I'm
exactly.
not saying that that is 100% the reason Disney is doing this, but I think from the moment it was announced that Nintendo is coming to a theme park, just because of how people have always interacted with that brand, you knew it had to be something very different than we had ever seen before in theme parks.
Well, that's the thing, and I don't like to be self-congratulatory. This is a little bit relevant here. I wrote an article, I don't know, 1 or 2 years ago, and I projected that somebody was going to buy the intellectual properties of Nintendo for the purpose of a theme park. And then the next week, I was at Disney World, and I pull up an article, and even though I got no tip-offs or anything, that was the story that day. It's one of those things you can definitely see coming, and it's not because of Nintendo, it's because of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. It all circles back to that, because what Universal showed is how much a single valuable intellectual property can fundamentally alter the course of something. Universal is not well run. That's the dirty secret of it. People who work at both theme parks or have worked at both theme parks talk about Universal as lucky rather than good. Disney is fully equipped to handle this sort of thing. So with Star Wars Land, with Marvel's Land, you're going to see what the ideas were with Harry Potter and with Nintendo, except it's going to be done with that special Disney flair that's going to elevate it. So we're looking at something right now that's going to become Westworldy, and that you really are going to feel like you're a part of the experience, and that's inimitable.
Yeah. All right, so before we move over to Epcot, let's sort of parse this out a bit with Hollywood Studios or whatever it will be called in the future. We were talking about this in the last segment. Is it's interesting that what they are laying out with the Star Wars Hotel actually being somehow connected to that park the way that I assume the Grand Californian is to California Adventure. What it's laying out is you are going from distinct world you've always wanted to walk into to distinct world you've always wanted to walk into to distinct world you've always wanted to walk into, where when you consider now that Mickey and Minnie are taking over the front of that park, that is a ride experience we've never had before at Disney. Then going clockwise around, you go to Star Wars Land, you got the Muppets Courtyard, which is slowly expanding out here and there, and then Toy Story Land, and I have heard that the next step is going to be Monstropolis takes over Sunset Boulevard.
Okay, in terms of what we're talking about here, you're absolutely correct. One of Walt Disney's things, and I'm sure you've heard this many times, is he got really upset. It could be an apocryphal story, but he allegedly got upset when he saw a cowboy walking through Tomorrowland.
Right.
Because it disrupted the illusion. What we're seeing today, and even though people are criticizing Disney a lot for saying they're not honoring Walt Disney spirit, is they're actually trying to embrace this in a way we've never seen before. And what they've
done... You know, I'm going to cut you off just for a second, just because sure. I agree with you 100%, and I've always hated the way people interpret what would Walt do, meaning exclusively that he would be building the same attractions he was building in 1955 if he were still right. alive in 2017, and nobody thinks about that this is the kind of stuff Walt Disney would absolutely be embracing at this point.
Right. We'll actually touch on this when we get to the Epcot discussion, but anybody who says Future World's not honoring Walt Disney's vision, his vision was for a capitalist utopia. Basically, right. The instant they broke ground at Epcot, they violated his dream, but they did the best they could, and that's what they're always trying to do. And I guarantee you, Imagineers care more about this than casual onlookers do, even the most passionate Disney fans, because people take jobs at Disney not for the money, but for the work experience and right. for the fact that they can say they do this. And I know that because my wife occasionally, even though she has a wonderful job that she loves, she does fantasize about going to work at Disney at the end.
So let's get back to what I was discussing about moving from one world to another. Where were you going with that thought about Walt Disney before I interrupted you?
Sure. What they're going to do now is they're going to create distinct sections. One of the themes from D23 that hasn't been highlighted enough is Disney aggressively attacked any criticism any of their parks has ever faced. Because if you think about it, for years, the most criticized park, and we touched on this in our last conversation, was Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Animal Kingdom now has the hottest themed land, which is Pandora. So that criticism has been addressed. When you look at the other parks that are remaining, it's Disney California Adventure, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios. And Epcot, it's specific to Future World. The major announcements from D23, where were they? Disney California Adventure with Marvel Land, with Pixar Pier, with the bringing of Paint the Night over. Hollywood Studios, they're now going to say, you know what, with Hollywood Studios, we had a concept we liked in 1988. Jack Kerkorian, we had an issue there. The park was never quite what we wanted. So the signature attraction on opening day, the Great Movie Ride, it's just not what we wanted it to be.
Right.
So we're getting rid of it, and we're putting in the thing that makes the most sense, which is Mickey and Minnie Mouse. How has there never been a Mickey and Minnie Mouse ride? So every section of the park, and while I hear both things about Monstropolis, I've heard that rumor as well. I've also seen it refuted. You go back and forth on all these things. What everything is an individual bubble within the Disney bubble, where right. every section should be standalone. And that's why I fully expect the Star Wars Hotel to have a back door into Hollywood Studios, just as you predicted. I haven't seen blueprints confirming that yet, but I will be surprised if that's not the case, because that's what makes the most sense, where you can just sneak in, do your missions.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you completely. Okay, so let's move over to Epcot now. And you hinted at exactly what I wanted to talk about is we are, or maybe are we, veering completely away from the original mission or vision of Future World, or is this, again, a part of you are going to have to rethink what it means to be Epcot?
Here's the scandalous, possibly blasphemous thing I have to say. The experimental prototype community of tomorrow wasn't an idea that could work because it was a capitalist utopia. That's a paradoxical statement. The right. entire point of capitalism is that some people succeed beyond others. So you immediately have a concept that's great in theory, that the execution of it, we would have had to see how it unfolded. And, you know, you always give Walt Disney the benefit of the doubt on these things because he's one of the few people that literally could do the impossible somehow.
Right.
But we didn't get that. He died. His brother died. When Epcot started, there weren't the people who founded the company running it. So they made best guesses as they could. And what the focus always was technology, innovation. And that's what Walt Disney was always about. That's what his Imagineers were always about. Future World could not keep up with technology and innovation because of cost. It right. simply couldn't attract enough traffic to continue funneling tens of millions of dollars in the new attractions. That's just the brutal reality of it. So what they're doing now is they're making a viable business decision, which is we can do a Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster that honors the Future World vision. And because it has a talking plant and a fuzzy raccoon, kids will want to see it anyway.
Right.
And that's – they figured out how to sell it in a way that makes it more family-friendly while still trying to honor the vision. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. I think that it is not only ambitious, it is a savvy business decision. And even as a purist and a loyalist, I look at it and I say this sustains and really to a certain extent restores Future World. And that's what was needed.
No, I agree. In fact, Future World, it seems like when you're on a Disney vacation, seems like the part of any park you go through the fastest. I would say even more so than Hollywood Studios, just because icons of that particular section of Epcot have aged so poorly, there's almost no point in wasting your time with them. That's more time you could be spending in World Showcase, or, you know, more time you could devote to whatever the longest queue is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people who loves Spaceship Earth. It's actually my favorite attraction.
Sure.
But if you look at Living with the Land, you look at Spaceship Earth, those are very educational, and they're not kid-friendly.
Right.
Soarin' kind of blurs the line there where it does a little bit. But then you look at the other attractions. I mean, Mission Space, let's be honest, Mission Space is a failed attraction in every phase of it. They had the tragedies. They changed the ride. There's never anybody there. So now Disney said, with Mission Space, we're going to change it. There are going to be two different rides now, which is what they should have done in 2006 instead of having a softer and a harder version. So now they're going to have the Interplanetary Earth one, and they're going to have the new Mars footage that's going to be 4K and shiny, and it's going to tell a different story. They're looking at a weak spot, and they're going, what can we do to plus it the way Walt Disney would have wanted? And rather than tear down Mission Space, which is what a lot of people had predicted would happen, they're doubling down by adding a restaurant that looks fantastic. As a matter of fact, the Mission Space restaurant with the Internet Planetary View, I don't know if you ever do this. Sometimes I pull up YouTube and I watch the ISS pictures of planet Earth, and it's just mystifying to me that somewhere there's a camera that's beaming a satellite view of the planet. That's what that entire restaurant is going to be. And that makes it a kindred spirit to Coral Reef. That's the other thing about it. Coral Reef is the underwater spectacular version. Now we're going to have an outer space one. So it even fits thematically and has a parallel. They've done some really clever stuff with these announcements for Future World.
Yeah, so it makes me wonder then, given all of the effort that is going into Mission Space, do you think the idea or that very loose rumor that was out there a while ago that Ellen's Energy Adventure is just the start of a Guardians like subland within Future World?
I've heard that rumor, and if you look at the blueprints, I mean, this is a dirty secret of Epcot nobody ever realizes. Epcot could be twice its size very easily. So you can expand and expand and expand. What they've done in the short term, and they've said, no, we believe in the Mission Space concept. Walt Disney loved the idea of exploring outer space. Let's try and maintain his vision. Let's give it a different chance with better technology. So they're trying again. Now, if it doesn't work, then yes, they have to tear it down because that is wasted space if it doesn't appeal to people. I mean, if you look out on a map, Mission Space takes up a lot of room, and there's just never anybody there. I was making a joke. When you pull it up on the app, it's always a 5 or 10 minute wait.
Yeah, well,
that's inexcusable.
You know, I would say, and I know that they would have to do some upgrading to Mission Space to make this work exactly. I don't think... Just like I don't think there is no reason that the new Star Wars films always feature a very close-up shot of characters eating, I don't think it was pure coincidence that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 focused a lot on how they use jetpacks in outer space. I just cannot shake the feeling that that was not a coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something to explore, and again, And I want to emphasize this with Future World. They really have put a lot of thought into the things Walt Disney liked, because Goo Goo Technology, and at the time it was the race to space, and he was obsessed with that. He was absolutely obsessed. So they're trying to build things that would honor what he loved, even though they're taking a beating in the short term to do it.
Yeah. All right. So the change in, not even change in direction, the I guess let's just call it the new direction of Future World, does it tip the hat to any changes that may be coming long term to Tomorrowland? Because they sort of suffer from the same problem, is theme parks cannot keep up with changing technology because of cost.
And that's there's a really good Simpsons joke about how Epcot represents what people thought of the future right, in 1982.
It's the year 2000 from 1982.
Exactly. So you know what I'm going with here. You're absolutely right to an extent, because if you ever look out on a map, and I've discussed this many times, the biggest waste of space in the entirety of the Walt Disney World campus is Tomorrowland Speedway.
Right.
But Autopia was a ride that there were three different versions of it at different points running at Disneyland. It's a ride that matters, but kids can do that on their phone now. It's just not that big a deal. So that space is going to go at some point. But what's interesting about the announcement is they're not tearing it down right now. Instead, they're going to put Tron in an area where there's not anything right now, which brings back that conversation. The debate for a while was whether it was going to be Tron or Wreck-It Ralph. Now I think we're going to get both things over time. They're going to reinvigorate existing space and new space at Tomorrowland with intellectual properties. And that's the running theme of all this. You look at every major announcement and it ties back to something that Disney already owns, whether it's Pixar, whether it's Star Wars, whether it's Marvel, or in this case, you know, Wreck-It Ralph and Tron. Disney understands that they can sell everything and they can make it timeless through their storytelling. And that's the control they have that they don't on the future of technology. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, well, absolutely, I understand that. One thing that they own that I'm surprised and have remained surprised for years that they don't bring into the park in a significant way is ESPN. And this is just more theoretical, think it out loud kind of stuff that it is. Why don't we have an ESPN attraction, damn it? It does seem like if you wanted to reinvigorate the Wonders of Life Pavilion, you have the perfect IP to do it with. Do you ever foresee a day, A, when Wonders of Life comes back online? I know it's a convention space now, essentially. B, is there a logical way to put ESPN in the parks?
I think the answer for Wonders of Life is unfortunately no. It's right. Just something they decided to do in a different way elsewhere. That's just the reality of it. In terms of ESPN, I'm afraid they've missed their window. I really am, because one of the other things I do is I write for some cord-cutting sites, and so I follow Disney's television ratings and whatnot, and how the NBA contract was just the worst idea they've ever had. And what's happened with ESPN is if you look at all of the IPs they have, they're internationally popular with the exception of ESPN. And for whatever reason, they've not been able to extend the ESPN brand to where it's powerful worldwide. And presumably that's because they face an impossible situation. The most popular sport in the world is the one Americans dislike the most.
Right.
So they've never quite found that balance, and it's not for lack of trying. But ESPN doesn't translate, and because of that, it's in danger of fading and slipping away. And, you know, there was a time you couldn't have imagined no Blockbuster. There was a time you couldn't have imagined no record stores.
Sure.
ESPN's in danger of that fate unless they aggressively find new solutions to it. And that's why when I'm looking at it, I don't think that if I were in charge of Disney park planning right now, I would be willing to double down on ESPN as a park presence, because you might be adding a dinosaur right before the comet hits.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. I think that probably the future of ESPN, as every league is launching its own network and then controlling its own digital distribution. Mm-hmm. If ESPN's going to survive, it's going to be through the SEC network and through the ACC network and whatever other college conferences.
The brutal reality is it's going to be esports and it's going to be augmented reality. I actually have a friend who has a wonderful job. He works as a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. He's about to give up his job and move cross country to become a director for esports for Microsoft. And the reason why is, and I begged him to do it, that's the growth opportunity in the industry right now, because you can't tear an ACL in a video game.
Right. that's true. I have always wondered why it is that the first time, remember the first time ESPN put esports on, this was maybe 2014, I believe.
Heroes of the Dorm, yeah.
Yeah, people freaked out, and yet mm-hmm. that same freak out did not exist every single year they showed the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
That's right.
It's so weird how we're so married generationally to what is and is not sports.
And that's the thing. Twitch is already one of the four largest bandwidth hogs. I mean, it actually passes Hulu a lot of months. So Twitch is already wildly popular. And as we become a universe that appreciates augmented reality and virtual reality, people are going to admire gamers who can do things without risk more than they are ones who do, or at least they're going to do it enough that it's going to become a factor. And that's why with ESPN, they have to get in on that now, because if you're under 30, you haven't been indoctrinated to ESPN, so they don't have a business model past a certain point.
Right. Very true. Do you think the rise of augmented reality changes the future of theme parks at all?
That's an interesting discussion. We should have a full conversation about that at some point. I have a lot of opinions on that. The short answer is maybe, and that's not finite, but I think that the best thing Disney can hope for right now is the quick advance of Hyperloop so that people can get to the parks from anywhere in the world conveniently.
Right.
The worst thing that can happen for Disney is people can feel like they're visiting a theme park from their home. But then I start thinking about it. Disney gets 100,000 visitors a day currently. How many people would they get a day through augmented reality and virtual reality?
Yeah.
So now you look at the other side of it and like, wait, does that blow their model up completely where they've got 10 times as many customers?
All very interesting stuff. All right, David, we are going to have to do this again real soon. David Mumpower, Disney Demystified. It is volume 2, correct?
Yes, this one's about Florida.
Yeah, so this one will be out real soon. You can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy books. And just, you're going to have to Google David's name because he writes for just about every Disney site out there. David, thanks so much, man.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Hey folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
The Extra Magic Hour's just about over.
Aww.
But first, it's time for the glorious 3-hour finale.
All right, just about to wrap things up for the week, but Kat, you discovered this week that your dad is a hoarder when it comes to the Disney parks.
Yes. So I was visiting him at work, and I noticed on his desk, he was in a meeting, so I wasn't talking to him at the time, but I noticed at his desk, he still had his magic band, and the last trip that we took as a family was 3 years ago. So I just thought it was very cool and interesting that he still had that magic band, and I was like, the thought that went through my mind was, well, maybe it wasn't my mom I got this obsession with. Maybe it was my dad.
So that brings up an interesting question of how long do you keep magic bands for? Like, you and Eric go annually now, right? Like, you try and go at least once a year.
Yeah, we're taking our second trip this year at the end of the month, or at the end of August.
So being an annual pass holder, obviously you connect it to a magic band and you keep that magic band with you year round. But before, how many uses would you get out of a magic band before you get rid of it?
Well, I've only ever used it once, and then I would just store it in, I have not a jewelry box, but it's like a little keepsake box.
Yeah.
Because, and then I've started to do this because we've always booked packages, so we get a magic band with it.
Right.
So I've started collecting every color.
I mean, I'm sure you are not alone in that effort. What color did you reserve for the annual pass this year?
So my annual pass actually came from the October trip, and that was purple.
Ah.
So it's actually still the first magic band, not magic band 2.0.
Right. So I bring that up because, do you remember when magic bands first launched? There was an effort by Disney to get out there the information that the battery should last you for 2 years.
Yes.
And then also, in addition to that, there was a real effort by Disney to get you to recycle your magic band at the end of the trip.
Oh. I had no idea about the recycling thing. I knew that the magic band lasted for 2 years because when Eric and I booked our honeymoon trip, it was only a year after my family's trip. So my mom was like, are you going to reuse your magic band? And I said, no, I want a new one.
Yeah, I remember the first maybe year or two of magic bands, if you would go to, like, if you went to a human being to help you out with something involving your magic band, they would always tell you, don't forget you can recycle your band at the resort at the end of your trip.
No, I don't remember that. And, like, when our family trip was, like, right after they first, like, rolled out the magic bands.
Right. Yeah, I think we took a trip not long after they first rolled out the magic bands, too. And I really don't remember them pushing that, don't forget you can recycle, till maybe a year later or maybe a few months later. But I definitely remember them pushing, don't forget to recycle. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever had the misfortune of not planning ahead of time and ending up with a gray magic band?
No. Thankfully not. But I almost did on our trip in March because I had no idea that we would have magic bands since both Eric and I had annual passes. So I was like, no, I don't need to look at that. But I'm so glad I did because then it said, choose your magic band, 3 days left. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't collect every color.
Can I share with you a story of being rich and fancy and going to Disney World?
Yes.
On concierge level, they will make sure you never have to have a gray magic band should something happen with yours.
That is awesome.
One year, the first time that my wife's work put us on the concierge level, I always get a red magic band. And I can't remember, like, I think one of the little buckle snaps things broke. And so I couldn't get it to connect. So I went to the desk and asked, you know, hey, can I get a new magic band? And the woman asked me, did I want a gray one or did I want a specific color? And the purple had literally just rolled out the month before.
Yeah.
And so I asked if I could get a purple one. And they told me, give us 5 minutes. And a guy came running up to the concierge level with a purple magic band. Didn't have my name on it, but it was the color that I wanted.
Wow.
Yes.
That's okay. I need to start going on concierge level.
It is good to have land, as they say. All right, that is going to do it for us this week, and should be back next week, so you will get the full crew. Until then, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.